WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents. TGIF. Yes, the week, the end of the week, that is here. And I'm so glad that you've allowed Current Sports to help close it out for you. I'm your host, Al Martin, on this November 8th, 2013, and we have a ton to get to, like always. Now, today is the day that Michigan State basketball enters the lives of Mid-Michigan once again. Yes, we'll tell you also about a disturbing harassment case from Richie Incognito from back in 2012, and there is a pretty valuable piece of Olympic history that's up for sale. We'll tell you all about that in just a second. I want to thank all of you who tuned into Current Sports TV last night as I sat down with the executive director of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. It was one of the best episodes we've had so far on the show. And if you missed last night's interview, we're going to play it right here on today's radio show. That's right. Bob Every was my guest last night. He was such a great guest. And I want to let all of you know that next week I'll be sitting down with Ali Easley. Now, Ali is the head trainer, boxing trainer, at Crown Boxing Club in Lansing and is on the kinesiology faculty at Michigan State University. He is also founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation, or HAWK, where he works with underprivileged kids and gives them the chance to better their lives through the sport of boxing. If you want to be a part of the live audience next week, Wednesday night, sign up for free at WKAR.org. It's pretty simple, folks. Well, let's dive into today's show. Here are your current sports headliners on this November 8th, 2013. All right, the number two Spartans open the regular season at home against McNeese State tonight. This is the first time since 2010 that Michigan State will open the season with a home game, as the Spartans have not lost a season opener at home, get this, since 1970. That's a long time. Now, Michigan State is 90-24 all-time in openers, winning 33 of the last 36, the only three losses in this year's last 36 years. Last year came to Connecticut in the Armed Forces Classic in Germany and to number one North Carolina in the 2011 Carrier Classic on the deck of the USS Carl Vinson in California, and in November 2005 when MSU fell at Hawaii 84-62. Now, prior to that, the Spartans' last loss in an opener came on November 29th, 1976 when they fell to Central Michigan 81-76. Now, this is the first ever meeting between Michigan State and McNeese State. The Spartans are 6-0 against current members of the Southland Conference, going 3-0 against both Lamar and Nicholls State. Now, MSU will play the Southland Conference member New Orleans later this season. Also want to note that Michigan also opens its season tonight. They will play UMass Lowell, and they will have, they will rise last year's Final Four banner to the rafters at Chrysler Center. That should be a great event there. All right, Kentucky coach John Calipari had some interesting comments yesterday, folks. Kentucky coach John Calipari said it was unfair for his freshman-oriented team to play veteran-laden Michigan State next Tuesday. Meanwhile, he acknowledged that UK, which he's made synonyms with star freshman, may add to its schedule another early season event reportedly involving top opponents. Calipari said, quote, "The issue becomes playing teams like Michigan State this early is not fair for my team. It may be fair for everybody else, but it's not fair for my team." Now, Kentucky has become known primarily as the place for so-called one-and-done players. We all know those who go to Kentucky have a pretty good shot at entering that NBA draft. But Calipari proclaimed the 2010 NBA draft when four UK freshmen were picked in the first round as the greatest day in program's history. That's what Calipari had to say. Now, Calipari went on to say, also yesterday, that, quote, "Our program is not traditional." "It's not traditional in the sense everyone stays 4 years. So it's not fair when we walk in and everybody else is more experienced." John, I don't see how that's Michigan State's fault at all whatsoever. Come on, man. You're the number one team in the nation. Just go out there and show it. Don't give me any excuses about experience. Just go out there and play the game. Oh, man. Again, Michigan will play Kentucky in a pretty big event next week, Tuesday. So there are John Calipari's comments on that one. All right. And we have to show some love to a certain kicker here on today's Current Sports. Michigan State junior Mike Sadler was named a semifinalist for the Ray Guy Award, which honors the most outstanding punter in college football. Now, the Augusta Sports Council honored Sadler as one of 10 semifinalists after 85 candidates were considered. Three finalists will be selected on November 25th, the winner being announced December 12th. Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio said after Saturday's 29-6 win over Michigan, Sadler keeps punting the ball extremely well inside the 10. Really, the game was played predominantly at their end of the field in the second half. Things are going to happen when that happens. Now, Sadler has averaged 42.8 yards per punt to rank second in the Big Ten while landing 22 of his 47 punts inside the 20-yard line. He also had a 25-yard first down run against Iowa off a fake punt that helped Spartans in their win last month. All right, after missing one game, the Jay Cutler will return. Jay Cutler is going to return Sunday to face the Detroit Lions at Soldier Field following a groin tear suffered on October 20th. Now, team officials originally expected Cutler to be out 4 weeks and then assessed week to week. But doctors cleared Cutler to play on Thursday, and he practiced without a problem. Cutler said afterwards, "As soon as I got hurt, I felt like I'd be back quicker than they thought. I kind of had that mindset." Now, Coach Mark Trestman saw no reason to believe the team is pushing its starter back onto the field too soon, saying, "He had an excellent practice. He moved around. We worked the entire game plan today. Our movements, climbing the pocket, throwing the football down the field, short throws, everything. He did everything today. So Cutler looks ready, and we'll start this Sunday against the Detroit Lions." And, folks, our current sports question of the day, we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions and give you guys sort of a preview for that game against the Chicago Bears this Sunday. But we're asking you to call in and give us your thoughts on that game. Give us a prediction on that game. How you think the Lions will fare in that game? And also, we're taking your calls throughout the entire show when it concerns the MSU men's basketball team. How good do you think this team is going to be? Are we talking Final Four? Are we talking National Championship? Are the expectations too high for this team? Give us a call, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Also, note the Minnesota Vikings last night, they defended their home turf in a 34-27 comeback win over the Washington Redskins. Despite being outgained and losing the turnover battle, Minnesota, they got great efforts from QBs Christian Ponder and Matt Castle to lead the comeback. Now, Ponder was injured in the third quarter, diving for the end zone, dislocating his left shoulder. Castle filled in and went 4-for-6 down the stretch. Now, Adrian Peterson had 2 touchdowns despite running for just 75 yards. Robert Griffin III led the Redskins into the red zone in the final moments, but his 4th down pass was incomplete after Santana Moss couldn't get both feet down to score the potential game-winning touchdown. RG3 finished with 281 yards and 3 touchdowns. Not a bad day for RG3, to say the least. All right, another day, another update in the Richie Incognito saga, folks. Yes, news has now broken that Incognito was the target of an investigation last year for harassing a volunteer at a golf outing hosted by the Dolphins. The report is pretty disturbing stuff, but the report states that Incognito made inappropriate remarks to the 34-year-old woman, and according to the report, quote, used his golf club to touch her and rubbing against her private parts and then up her stomach and then to her chest. He then used the club to knock a pair of sunglasses off of the top of her head. Are you kidding me? All right. Oh, the report also states that, quote, after that, he proceeded to lean up against her buttocks with his private parts as if dancing and saying, "Let it rain, let it rain." He finally finished his inappropriate behavior by emptying bottled water in her face. If that's not crazy, I don't know what is, folks. We definitely talked about if Incognito had a mental problem wrong with him. And Incognito's a crazy guy. I mean, if that report doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. Now, While the investigation took place, no charges were filed against Incognito. I don't know how he dodged that one, folks, but this story just day after day, it's another update. Oh my gosh. All right, Red Wings, it's safe to say that the Dallas Stars are comfortable playing for overtime. Dallas won their third out of four consecutive overtime game, capitalizing off of Cody Eakin's game-tying goal with 60 seconds remaining. Star Richie Peverly said afterwards, "We've had a lot of overtime games so far this year. You need to be able to get points in any way." Now, Peverly ended the game at 4:41 into OT, sending in a wrister from a high slot pass past Jimmy Howard. Ty Bertuzzi and Pavel Datsyuk had a goal and an assist each for the Wings, who dropped their second straight game after a brief three-game winning streak. The Tampa Bay Lightning are next on the schedule, visiting Joe Louis Arena on Saturday night. Also want to note that the Oklahoma City make their only visit to the Palace of Auburn Hills this season, playing the Pistons tonight. So our eyes will definitely be on that one as well. And an incredible piece of Olympic history is hitting the open market, folks. One of the four medals won by Jesse Owens in the 1936 Berlin Olympics is being prepped for auction later this month, with bidding ending on December 7th. Now, the medal was given to Owens' friend, Bob Bojangles Robinson, who passed in 1949, and recently handed over to SCP Auctions by Robinson's wife. Now, the medal figures to sell for over $1 million, as the whereabouts of the other three medals from the 36 games, they are unknown. So, Kohler, who was in charge of this whole thing, said, "We think this is a seven-figure piece. We expect to see a good deal of international interest and could see some institutions bidding. This is so much bigger than a piece of sports memorabilia. It's a piece of history." Man, props to whoever gets their hands on that legendary piece of sports history. Wow. All right, different year, same result with an inside track at a national championship appearance. The Oregon Ducks once again fell to the Stanford Cardinal. Yes, derailing a perfect season for the second year in a row. Now, Stanford held Oregon scoreless in the first half and for the first time since 2009, and held a 26-0 lead in the fourth quarter. Yes, they didn't score for three quarters, folks. That is before an Oregon rally led to a 26-20 final score. Now, the Cardinal forced two Oregon fumbles, one on quarterback Marcus Mariota and another on running back DeAnthony Thomas inside the 10-yard line. Oregon's speed was no match for Stanford's interior strength and toughness. This is from a quote from Stanford coach David Shaw. He said, quote, "If you control the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, you can beat these guys. We are a big physical football team, and that plays well together." Again, Stanford topped Oregon last night, 26-20, your final. Well, those are your current sports headlines on this November 8th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We're also taking your calls and comments throughout today's show on the MSU basketball team, which again starts its season tonight at the Breslin Center against McNeese State. How good do you think this year's team will be? Do you anticipate a national championship? Also, the Lions get back to action after last week's bye. They have the Chicago Bears this Sunday. Call in and give us a prediction on that one. Again, the number to dial is 517-355-9527. In the meantime, if you didn't get a chance to check out Current Sports TV last night, we got your back. I sat down with the executive director of the Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, Bob Every. Bob is also a Hall of Fame boxer, a former softball coach over at Lansing Community College, where he actually led the Lady Stars to a national title. Yes, he is now the head coach of MSU's club softball team. Now, I first asked Bob, when did the juices first start flowing for him to give boxing a shot?
I came home from a show on a Friday night. I was about 10, 11 years old, way too young to start boxing competitively, but to get the juices. My dad was, he really liked his beer. And we would come home about about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and he'd be watching Friday night fights. And he would get so into it that that I said, my goodness, anything that excites him that much, just think, if I could be a boxer, mm-hmm. I could excite my father and you know, I could have this relationship with him.
So was your dad then?
Yeah, my dad inspired me to be a fighter, yes. His love for the game of boxing inspired me to be a fighter.
So how did you start?
Well, I moved to St. John's, Michigan. Unfortunately, my mother and father divorced, when I was in junior high, and we ended up moving to St. John's, and they had an amateur boxing club there, and I showed up one day and talked to the coach, and I lied my age. You had to be 16 in order to compete at the Golden Gloves in that time, and I was only 15, but he never seemed to question it, and I didn't offer it up, so...
paid off, you know, right? Paid off.
Paid off. You know, I took some knocks getting to where I wanted to get, but I knew it's what I wanted to do, and so that's how I got started.
Now, Bob, you're a Hall of Fame boxer. Hall of Fame boxer. When did you know that you were pretty good at this thing?
Well, I'll tell you what. When I won my first state championship, it kind of took me out of the mediocre athlete and put me into the privileged athlete classification. And what I did from there was strictly up to me. But that's when I kind of sensed that I had maybe an ability to be good at something. And I really dove in and went at it as hard as I could.
I got to ask you, I want to talk about boxing's popularity for a second here, Bob, because we know that over time, boxing popularity has kind of dwindled when it comes to youth getting involved with the sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the days of Ali and Frazier, I mean, boxing was on local TV. You could see boxing on local TV. Now you never see that. The only time you really get to see a huge fight is if Money Mayweather is fighting on pay-per-view.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, talk about boxing's popularity today and why has it dwindled over time so much?
Well, when you stop and think, from the 1920s until the 1950s, the two most popular sports in this country, in America, were baseball and boxing. So it really has dwindled when you look at it in comparison to the growth of other sports. I'm not sure, Al, whether it's just the hard toughness of going to practice every day, getting up and doing the road work, all of the things that come with being successful at boxing. I'm not so sure that people want to work that hard, to be perfectly honest with you. There are people that still do it, and the ones who are into that mindset, like Floyd Mayweather Jr., they get paid quite handsomely for it. But the average Joe, I just don't know anymore if it's something that can excite them enough to stay involved in a sport that's tough. So
right.
I just think there's so many things to do that take people's mind off and something that hard, and it becomes easier to do something that's less harmful to you, I suppose. When I say harmful, I'm talking about getting the hard knocks in the face. I mean, can you imagine going and boxing practice every night and having somebody slug on your face?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's something that has been a really debated topic. When you talk about not... Football has really opened this door when you talk about concussions, Bob. And I got to ask you, you had a long career when it came to the sport of boxing. Have you felt any of those effects concussion-wise or brain-wise over the years?
Depends on who you talk to. If you talk to me, no. If you talk to my wife, absolutely.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. But, I mean, it's impossible with boxing to try to make it safe, is it?
Well, everything that's a contact sport runs the risk of having concussion effects on a person. I mean, even 3-meter divers have experienced concussion effects. So, yeah, I mean, there's always a risk involved with anything you do that's a contact sport. Thank God, though, we live in a country that allows us to make the choice of what we think is right and what we think is wrong, or what we want to do or what we don't want to do. I'm not here to defend it. I'm not here to say, listen, everybody should do it. I think that it has value to the people who value it. And I think that's probably best just to let it go like that.
Very, very well put. Now, Bob, you have been, USA Boxing Team, Michigan Golden Gloves, Hall of Fame inductee, AAU Boxing Champ. I mean, I could go on and on when it comes to your resume. What memory stands out the most to you when you look at your famed career in the sport?
Well, related to boxing, certainly the day that I met Muhammad Ali was one of the most exciting days of my life. And then to maintain a meaningful friendship with him over the years.
Year was that? When did you meet him?
I met him in 1970 when he was in Exile. He was speaking at the Michigan State Auditorium. And after my mother and I went and watched, I was fighting at the state tournaments in Grand Rapids that weekend. This was a Thursday or Wednesday, I believe. And after the thing was over, you know, I, being a boxer, I'm aggressive. I said, I got to meet this guy. I got to get down. I got to shake his hand.
I would have fainted.
I went down, and I'll tell you a funny story real quick. I went down, shook his hand, and then I started to follow him. They were going into a holding room in the back of the stage, apparently they had some kind of a special gathering taking place there. And as I went to walk in the door, a gentleman says, "No, this you can't come in here."
Right.
And Muhammad looked at the guy and says, "He can come in here," you know. And he could have just walked on and ignored me, but he took the time to say, "No, he's welcome." And I knew right then and there that all of my feelings about Muhammad Ali at that point came true, because I knew he was a genuine human being that cared about people.
Oh, man, that's so good. I got chills just now. Oh, man, that's great stuff. So you and Muhammad, do you guys still talk today? Because I know he's not doing too well.
Now. Well, you know, I slip him off some emails. I email actually his wife, Lonnie.
Okay.
And then, you know, Muhammad doesn't communicate a lot anymore. I haven't seen him probably in a couple of years. But I always try to send him a card for his birthday and a couple letters a year, and I get responses back. And I think I have as close a relationship with him as it would allow me to have. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he's such a popular individual, but he just doesn't get out and about like he used to anymore.
Exactly. Well, man, I mean, not too many people can say they know Muhammad Ali. Yeah. That's great stuff, Bob. All right, Bob, let's transition to softball now. I mean, you were a famed coach over at Lansing Community College for a long time, where actually you won a national title with the Lady Stars there.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with softball?
Well, I tell you, I was a baseball player, and I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player, and I was good enough to get looked at by the Pittsburgh Pirates, but I wasn't good enough to cut the mustard. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend that I knew that was really into fast pitch softball, a world premier fast pitch softball player, and he talked me into being involved in a local league in Lansing. And it was a transition, which is fairly easy to make from baseball to softball. They're basically the same. And I enjoyed it, so that's how I got started at his asking me to play on their City League team. And then I had two daughters. Mm-hmm. Now, do I take my daughters down and introduce them to boxing, or do I introduce them to softball? I think the question, with a little prodding from the little woman, was quite easy to do. And so I guess that's really how I got involved in it. And then when I got to the point where, I was getting older and I wanted to be involved in it, but I knew I couldn't play at the caliber that I wanted to, I thought, well, let's get into coaching. And it gives me a chance to coach my daughters. They were on a team. And then after they grew out of it and got into something else, I was afraid that I wasn't going to be able to have the same motivation because I wasn't coaching my daughters anymore. But then I realized that they're all my daughters. Every one of them. Everybody I ever coached, I felt like I had this passion to teach them what somebody taught me. And, it was that love of wanting to help somebody realize their dreams that kept me going, because somebody did that to me, Al. I mean, God forbid. I mean, my mom and dad divorced when I was a fairly young kid, and without coaching leadership in sports, through sports, I don't know where I would have been today. I'd probably been in prison, quite honestly. But, having the opportunity to coach my daughters and then coach girls in general was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful, and I'm so glad that God led me down that path, and here I am today.
There you go. Give it up for that. You can see the passion. Oh, man. Bob, the passion is so, it's bleeding through right now. You can tell you love coaching so much, and the relationship that you develop with the players that you coach. And I want to talk about, when you transition from Lansing Community College to coaching the MSU club softball team, many of who we have right here in the audience. Yeah. Something that stands out to me so much is once that stint happened, you had a quote that will forever stand out to me. And you said that the Michigan State club softball team is something that saved your life. Talk about that moment.
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, I was 63, 64 years old, and I was looking to retire probably within the next 5 years or so. I mean, I think I'm in pretty good shape. And so I felt I had my whole plan transitioned out to retire when I wanted to retire, and then the rug was ripped out from underneath me, and I had no plan. I had no plan, nothing to do with all this energy, and I didn't know what the heck I was going to do with myself. And I found out that maybe they would be interested in having me come on and help out, and I helped a guy by the name of Paul Cooper, a great guy who had a daughter on a team, and she have since left. Uh-huh. She graduated, and he moved on. And so they asked me if I would come on and work with them and take it over, and I got two of my coaches from the LCC team, Jeff Kegler and Jerry Murphy, to help me out. And I tell you what, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I love these girls. You know, I sometimes you have to get in their kitchen a little bit and scold them. But, you know, they're no different than what you do with your own kids. But don't think for one minute that I don't love them and I don't feel appreciative of having the opportunity to go to practice every day and work with such wonderful kids. It's a great.
That is true. Give it up for that, guys. For you, Bob, when you look at that moment, when you made that transition to coaching the MSU club softball team, I mean, what did you learn about yourself? I mean, how did that make you a tougher individual? I mean, going through that whole fiasco?
Well, I always felt that I was a tough individual starting at an early age of being involved in boxing. I always, as Tom Izzo would say, I'm always been comfortable in my own skin. I wasn't ready for the change. I wasn't ready for that change. And I felt like I felt guilty. I felt like I had done something wrong, and then I'd realized it isn't really about you, Bob. But it's the system that we live in, and I don't even care. I mean, I've moved on. I think I've been compensated to a point where I'm happy with things, and all I want to do now is take this team down to Columbus, Ohio, Saturday to play the number 4 ranked Columbus. What's Ohio State? What do they call
them? Buckeyes.
Yeah, Buckeyes.
Yeah, there we go. I
call them the Buckeyes. But you know, and we want to go down there, and we want to further the culture of Michigan State club softball to a point where we go from being rated number 12 in the country that we're currently at, and we can crack that top 10 for the first time in the history of the school.
You guys ready to do that? They're ready. They're pumped, Bob.
I know they're ready. They worked hard.
Now, really quickly, before I let the 12th man get at you and fire some questions at you, I want to ask you about how you got involved with the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. And because it's one of those things. I mean, if you look at Detroit Sports Hall of Fame, they don't even have a venue now.
Yeah,
I mean, just comparing that, which is a sad thing. But, I mean, you have really built this thing to be something special, Bob.
Well, the former athletic director at Lansing Community College, Walt Lingo, actually started this with Bert Smith, the athletic director of Michigan State, and Clay Kolak from the public school system. They started it. I worked for Walt for years. He moved on. Rich Maugham, my boss at the time, was the then took it over. And then he wanted to move on. And so the logical choice was for me to take it over because I knew the history of it. And, you know, and I have this passion, as you said. You know, anything I do, I want to be the best at. And I wanted it to be the best Hall of Fame, and I wanted to give it the best effort. And I believe that we've made some significant strides with our selection committee members. And this thing is really quite an event in Lansing, and it's quite a showpiece for the city of Lansing.
Yes, it is. And really quickly, Bob, tell people how they can view it. I believe it's in the Lansing Center, right?
Well, it's in the Lansing Center. Yeah, you can just park right out front, pop a couple quarters in the meter. It's that easy.
Walk inside,
go down the left hallway, and that starts the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. If you need information, just go to lansingsportshalloffame.org. Everything you need to know about the Hall of Fame is on that webpage.
The executive director right here, guys. All right, well, time for the 12th man, people. You're going to stick around and let them fire some questions at you. They got some tough.
It's against my better judgment, but I'm tough enough to get through it, I think.
Folks, the 12th man starts right now. Man. Yes, it is time for the 12th man, where we take questions from our live studio audience here at WKAR. And our first question for Bob Every comes from Jeff. How you doing, Jeff? Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Thank you. Hi, Coach. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Jeff.
Knowing that you're in three different sports Hall of Fames, and you having coached multiple teams to national championships and been in the ring corner for a number of championship boxing events, is there any one achievement in your athletic career that has that little extra special place in your heart?
I think the day that I was called by the United States Boxing Federation and asked to be a member of the USA boxing team competing against West Germany in the first international boxing match in the United States was probably the biggest thrill of my life.
Great question. Give it up for that. All right. Our next question comes from Lindsay. How you doing, Lindsay, and what's your question?
My question is, for you as a coach, what's more demanding, training a fighter or managing a softball team?
I think training softball players, because you have so many different personalities, so many things to deal with. Generally, when you're working with fighters, they're individual, one-on-one, but team has to work together, and that's rougher for me, I think, to do that than to work one-on-one with somebody.
Thanks a lot, Lindsay. Get over that question. That was a great question. There you go. All right, last but certainly not least, Fritz, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
We're doing fine, Al. Bob, with all your experience in boxing, do you think there is a future for boxing in Michigan and nationally going forward?
Yeah, I think what goes around comes around. Boxing is an established sport in our society, and I don't ever see it going away. I see the popularity maybe waning, ebbing and flowing, but I believe boxing's here. We'll have a guy like Muhammad Ali that'll come along again and set the boxing world upside down as he did, but who knows when. Mayweather's the closest thing we got right now.
Okay, great question. There you go. So I want to ask you, Bob, I mean, you've seen many fighters, and Ali, you told me, is the best fighter you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, he's the guy that probably employed the beauty of the sport with the punching power and the defensive ability to incorporate everything that you'd ever. I mean, he could box, he could take a good punch, he was a great defensive fighter, he was a showman. He was the Gorgeous George of boxing. And we all know what Gorgeous George meant to big-time wrestling.
Right.
And Muhammad Ali actually took some sidebars from Gorgeous George, but yeah. In my way of thinking, Muhammad Ali is not only one of the most beautiful people I've ever met, but he is also going to be forever, in my mind, the greatest fighter that ever lived. Sugar Ray Robinson is right there, too.
Good,
and there's
man.
A lot of close guys, but I never met Ray Robinson, but I met Muhammad Ali, and what a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Wow, Bob is certainly a lucky man to have met the great one, Muhammad Ali. Unbelievable. Now, Bob and his club softball team hit the road today for a weekend matchup against the nationally recognized Ohio State Buckeyes. Yes, they're pretty good. Wish them all the luck in the world. So that was Bob Every, our guest for this week's Current Sports TV. If you want to be a part of next week's audience for Current Sports TV, it's always a fun time each and every Wednesday night. I'll be sitting down with Ali Easley. He's the head boxing trainer over at Crown Boxing's Club in Lansing, Michigan. And also, an MSU, he's an MSU instructor in the field of boxing, in the field of kinesiology. And also, he has a pretty cool foundation, which deals with helping underprivileged kids in the Lansing area, taking them off the street, showing them the game of boxing to try and change their lives. Such an inspirational guy. He will be my guest for next week's Current Sports TV, next week, Wednesday. Sign up online for free, WKAR.org. I look forward to seeing you there. Well, let's take a quick break. When we return to Current Sports, we're going to talk a little Lions and MSU basketball. We are also taking your calls throughout this entire show on just how good you think this MSU men's basketball team will be. Are we talking Final Four, National Championship, huh? I don't know. And how good do you think how do you think the Lions are going to perform this weekend against the Chicago Bears? Call us at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back.
You've heard of genetic engineering, but did you know high school kids are doing it these days? I'm John Dankosky. Join me on Science Friday for a look at biosecurity in the age of do-it-yourself biology. We'll talk with an FBI special agent who's also a biochemist. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Kern State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight Current State's weekday stories and explore Mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to community events. Tune in Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at noon for WKAR's Current State Weekend.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, let's dive into the Lions and Bears. Of course, the Lions, they are just coming off a bye week, and they will be playing the Chicago Bears this Sunday. And I'm joined by Matt Luckey right now as we kind of dive into this game and give you our, you know, predictions, if you will, and expectations for this Lions team. Matt, first of all, how you doing, man? TGIF.
Oh, I'm doing great. Very happy it's Friday, Al.
Thank God. It's been a long week.
It really has. I can't even imagine for you.
Oh, I'm laboring. I got my coffee here. You know, I'm hanging on by a thread, but I'm hanging on.
You only got a few hours left.
Yes, only a few hours. There we go. Still got to cover the game tonight, though. We're going to dive into MSU men's basketball later on. But yeah, so Lions and Bears is so interesting now because in the division, in that NFC North, three teams sit atop the NFC North at 5-3. Now you have Aaron Rodgers out for the Packers now. It becomes very, very interesting. And this game is huge for the Lions if they want to separate themselves now and possibly take that outright lead. Now, going back in time a little bit, the Lions actually beat Chicago this season, if you remember, on September 29th. It was 40-32 win. They did a pretty good job at containing Calvin Johnson, to say the least. Now, Reggie Bush was huge that game. He had 18 carries for 139 yards, one touchdown. Jay Cutler, who, you know, as we just told you at the top of the hour, looks like Jay Cutler will be back and playing with the team this Sunday. Looks like he's going to start. Cutler was terrible, though, in that meeting on September 29th. He threw three interceptions, had four turnovers overall. And that Lions defense looked like MSU's defense, you know, to a degree. Lions actually scored 24 straight points in that game. Actually, three TDs in the span of 3 minutes. The Lions looked superb that entire game. Matt, do you expect the same this weekend? It's a tough order to dial up again.
It's tough to duplicate that kind of game just because the way that they took control, that second quarter when they did score the three touchdowns in 3 minutes, it was just insane.
Yeah.
And after that, the game was pretty much over. I mean, the Bears scored a couple of late garbage touchdowns, got some two-point conversions. You know, Alshon Jeffrey started catching the ball, but Cutler was off, and I think it's, you know, even with the home field advantage at Soldier Field, it's going to be tougher for him to just come back first game out facing a defense like the Lions, facing a defensive line like the Lions have,
yeah,
to be 100%.
Right.
And, you know, anytime you get Cutler even a little bit off his game, I think it favors the Lions. Now, are they going to put up 40 points in Soldier Field? I don't think so.
No, I don't think that's going to happen at Soldier Field.
But I think they can definitely put up enough points to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, they're kind of in the driver's seat. I mean, you look at their schedule in the back half of the season. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. They could win out.
They could.
They could win. I mean, listen to this. They go at the Bears, at the Steelers, home versus 0-8 Tampa Bay, who I think by then will have a win, mm-hmm, home versus Green Bay on Thanksgiving, who knows if Aaron Rodgers will play, at Philadelphia versus Baltimore, home for the Giants, and then at Minnesota.
Every single
one of those games is winnable.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, and it's looking pretty good. I think, yeah, if they can get over this hurdle, oh, man, it could bode very, very well for this Lions team. Like you said, who knows if Aaron Rodgers would be, you know, available in time for that Thanksgiving Day game. But, again, it's at Soldier Field. And if you look at the history, you know, I always go back to when you talk about the Lions and Bears, the history between these two ball clubs playing each other. I mean, the Lions, they've lost 9 of the last 11 games, I believe. And, you know, but I think that 40-32 win on September 29th, that's something that, you know, gives them more confidence coming into this one. And now you have a, you know, Jay Cutler. He won't be, even if he's coming back, because no one expected him to be back for this game, first of all. And his recovery is remarkable. But he's nowhere close. He can't be 100% in this game. And if you look at it, you know, him coming back, if you, I don't know if you know the comments from Ndamukong Suh. I mean, Ndamukong Suh is chomping at the bit knowing that Cutler is back for this Sunday's game. And I think that's going to bode well for the Lions, and it's going to be an interesting matchup. Now, will Cutler go out and have three interceptions and four turnovers overall? I don't think that'll happen. I think Calvin Johnson will have a better game. I mean, in that game, Calvin Johnson, I mean, he wasn't the Lions' best receiver in that game. You know, he had a subpar day. I mean, he caught one touchdown. That was like a two-yarder in the end zone. I think Calvin Johnson, they have no one on this planet can guard Calvin Johnson one-on-one. You're going to see a lot of double coverage on Calvin Johnson. I think it's going to open up the field for other receivers. I think Bush, I don't think he'll duplicate that first game against the Bears, but I think Bush will be good this weekend.
Yeah, I think Bush is going to be, and I think he should be, more involved in the passing game. I always like it when they have Bush and Joik Bell in the game at the same time, just right. Because they're both solid weapons. They're both solid pass catchers out of the backfield. Bush is obviously a bit more explosive, but, I mean, one of the only really studly player that the Bears have left on their defense is Charles Tillman.
That's it.
And he's going to be locked down on Calvin. And while you say, and you're correct in saying that there is no human being that could, you know, successfully stop Calvin Johnson.
I don't know if there's any non-human being. I don't think a cheetah could stop Calvin Johnson. I don't think a lion
You know,
could
you're
stop
probably
him.
Right. You're
yeah.
probably right.
It's unbelievable.
But as close as you're going to get, like, Charles Tillman is there. He is a really great player. He's underrated because he had to play zone defense for so long, and he's a much better man-to-man guy. But he's a great player. I think other than that, the Lions have so many matchups on their offense versus the Bears defense that they can exploit that I don't think it has to be Calvin. I think he will have a better game than he had in the first meeting, but it doesn't have to be a, wow, Calvin Johnson just put up 300. You know, it doesn't have to be the Cowboys game. He doesn't have to set an NFL record for receiving yards. They don't need that kind of effort from him because they're going to have opportunities all over the field.
Right. Yeah, I can definitely see that. So we'll definitely see this weekend. Something that, you know, now we are embarking on the second half of the season for the Lions. I really want to see that Lions secondary get better. That's something I'm definitely going to be looking at this weekend to see just, you know, because they've gotten beat so many times throughout the season so far. And fortunately for the Lions, I mean, you have a weapon like a Calvin Johnson. You have a weapon like a, you know, a Joik Bell and Reggie Bush to combat that. You know what I mean? And I just really hope that the Lions secondary gets it together and stop getting beat deep. And, you know, I'm interested to see how Rasheed Mathis handles the second half of the season. You know, guys like Chris Houston, those guys got to step up to have to give the offense a little bit more confidence, knowing that their defense is going to hold up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I hear you. And, you know, you look at the defense and basically they give up a lot of yards. If they don't get turnovers, they struggle.
Right.
That's the big thing. But luckily, they have one of the better defensive lines in football. They're going to miss Ziggy Ansah this week. He's been good. Good to, like, very good as a rookie. Mm-hmm. They're going to miss him off the edge, but I don't know. I think Sue's going to eat Cutler for lunch.
I think he is too, man. I think Sue's going to at least get 2 sacks this week.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
Maybe like a fine for a particularly hard hit or something.
Right. Exactly. I know, right?
Yeah.
He gets fined if you just walk in the street.
You got more than one sack? That's a fine.
That's a fine.
That's a fine.
That's a fine, Sue. So we'll see what happens. Again, if you want to comment and give us your thoughts and predictions on the Lions and Bears this Sunday, give us a call. 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Really quick, Matt, let's get to our NFL pick'ems. And I have to, because we haven't brought this up all week.
You've been avoiding it.
Yeah, I've been avoiding it, man. But I gotta fess up. And I lost, Alex lost by forfeit, really. Alex just kind of, he missed 1 week and just said, all right, I'll you know, sing, rap, whatever. So Alex and I will be, what are we doing, a freestyle battle?
Yeah, you guys are going to do a freestyle rap battle.
Wow.
Sometime in the future.
Oh, my gosh. I lost last month, and now I have to do a freestyle rap battle. Oh, this is terrible. All right, man, I got to redeem myself. What do we got this weekend for NFL picks? Let's run them down.
All righty. Now, you did lose last month, but I have some good news.
What's up?
You are a point up on everybody.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, sookie now.
Because you all took the Minnesota Vikings last night.
I did.
You put your faith in Christian Ponder.
Yep.
And it paid off.
It paid off, man.
Against all odds, it paid off. So you're one up on everybody.
Okay.
All right, so we will start out with the Bills at the Steelers.
Bills and Steelers, I'm going with Bills, man.
I'm going to take Buffalo as well. Alex took Pittsburgh.
He did. Huh.
Next up is Bengals at the Ravens.
Give me the Bengals.
It's a tough one. Bengals,
it is a tough one.
Bengals just lost Geno Atkins.
Yeah, they did, yep.
That's a tough loss. I'm still going to stick with them. I think they're just a better team than the Ravens. Lions at Bears. Just talked about it. Who you got?
Lions. Lions. Lions in that one, yep.
Yep, me too. Eagles at the Packers.
Eagles and Packers. With Aaron Rodgers being out, man. And Nick Foles had an unbelievable day.
I know.
Last week.
Did you cut him off your fantasy team?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, we both cut
him.
That
was awesome.
And then he goes crazy.
Thanks, Nick.
Oh, my gosh. I hate fantasy football.
Me
anyway,
too.
I'm going with – I still think the Packers are going to win that one.
Okay, I'm going to take the Eagles.
You're going to take the Eagles.
I feel like Philly keeps it rolling. As long as Matt Barkley doesn't have to play, the Eagles aren't terrible.
Right. That's true.
As soon as he comes in the game, you chalk it up as a big fat loss.
Yeah, it's just a debacle when he comes in the game.
Exactly. All right, Rams at the Colts.
Give me the Colts.
All right.
Why did I hesitate so long?
I don't know.
What in the world? Andrew Luck, baby, come on.
Every once in a while, the Rams surprise you, though.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Colts as well. Here you go. Jaguars at Titans.
Titans.
Same. Jaguars, just reading, Jaguars are the worst 0-8 team since 1989 in the NFL.
Are you serious?
Yes. And the Buccaneers and the Buccaneers are the best. So it's opposite ends of the 0-8 spectrum.
Wow, that's interesting. We could have a conversation on that. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Sooner or later.
Statistically, they are.
Statistically, yes. Somehow, I feel like Jacksonville's going to somehow sneak out a win, and Tampa Bay's just going to.
I could see. They're bound for one. They're due
somebody.
For one. Yeah, somebody is.
But it'd be nice, you know? as a Lions fan to see someone else go 0-16.
It would, man. It would make us Lions fans feel much better about that season. That season was. I have nightmares every once in a while about it.
I went to the Bears-Lions game when they played at Ford Field, and Bears fans were still talking about the 0-16 season.
Yeah, it still
that
gets brought up.
That happened 5 years ago.
Every season, it gets brought up in some way or fashion or form.
So somebody's got to carry that torch, pick up
please.
The mantle. Come on, Jacksonville.
Yes.
Lose out.
I'm tired of talking about it, tell you the truth.
Me
oh,
too.
My gosh.
All right. Raiders at Giants. Terrell Pryor versus Eli Manning.
Yeah, give me Giants are home.
Giants are home. It's a tough one.
Gosh. Give me the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm going with them. I'm going to go with them in this one.
I'm going to take the Giants, too.
If there's any team that I think they could have a chance at winning.
See, but that's the thing. You get the Giants in these games where they look like they're going to win, and then Eli Manning throws four interceptions.
Exactly.
And they
Eli's
get blown
been
off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've gone with the Giants in the past, and it's come around to bite me in the butt on numerous occasions.
Right.
I'm going to do it again. Hopefully it doesn't bite me in the butt again.
I'm gonna be right there with you. So it's going to bite all of us because Alex took him too.
Right.
All right. Seahawks at the Falcons.
Give me Seahawks.
Same. Mm-hmm. Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton at the San Francisco 49ers. This is a good game.
I think that's going to be a really, really good game. I'm going to go with Kaepernick.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to take Cam.
I can see that game going either way. But I think Kaepernick is just going to explode. I think he's due
sooner
for
or later.
Too. I think he's due for one.
Sooner or later, he's got to. The Panthers are pretty good defensively.
They are.
All right, Broncos and Peyton Manning versus Phillip Rivers and the San Diego
That's
Superchargers.
That's going to be a really good game. Is that an 8 o'clock? It was at 4 o'clock, 4:25.
4 o'clock.
Wow, that's going to be a good one, man. I'm going to go with Peyton Manning though.
Yeah, give me the Broncos as well.
Yep.
They've got a bit better of a defense.
Yeah.
Texans at the Cardinals.
Texans and Cardinals, give me Houston.
All right. Alex took Houston. I'm going to take Arizona.
They're home, right?
They play well at home. I don't know who the Texans even still have on offense.
Yeah. I just feel like – did Houston win last week? I'm trying to recall here. I can't remember.
No, they lost to Indianapolis, yeah.
They did lose. Wow. Oh, my gosh. They're on a 6-game losing streak. They're due for one.
I mean, that's true. They are due for one, but man, what a mess.
They started off 2-0.
I mean,
that's
Houston
terrible.
And Atlanta.
Yeah, that's.
They were both in everybody's preseason top 10.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be good this year, too.
I had Houston like my, the fifth, sixth best team
in the league. Yeah, I feel like everybody had them here on the show, at least had them top six.
Yeah, and then just totaled about. Wow, that's a.
Falling off the face of the earth.
Yes, they are, man.
Boy, oh boy. All right, Sunday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to like this one. Tony Romo and your Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys, baby.
Going to New Orleans.
That is
Drew Brees.
That game is going to be so good. I think Drew Brees is going to have a big game. I can feel that. I think Tony Romo is too. It's going to be a quarterback battle in this game. DeMarco Murray, who knows if he's healthy in this game. He didn't play DeMarco Murray. The report came out he was going to play.
Fantasy related?
Yes. I throw him in there last minute, and then last minute, Garrett decides, no, you're not playing. And totally, I get 0 points in every single fantasy team that I had DeMarco Murray in. Thanks, Jason Garrett. Anyway, I'm going with the Cowboys.
Seriously, he could have called.
Exactly. Call. Give me a call, brother. 517-355-9527, all right? Let me know something, man.
That's terrible. All right, so you're going to take Dallas?
I'm going with Dallas, man. Give me my Cowboys.
All right, I'm going to take the Saints. Yeah. I love Jimmy Graham. I love Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Keep it up.
I'm going with my heart and not my head on this one, but I'm going with my heart.
Hey, that's fair. And the Cowboys, I mean, they're up there.
They are.
I mean,
in a terrible division, I'll tell you that.
That's true, too.
They're up there.
Yeah. All right. This is maybe the most interesting game.
Okay.
Two of the most dysfunctional franchises in the NFL. Maybe it's a coincidence that they both reside in Florida. Maybe.
Maybe.
Dolphins visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You know, I can't wait for this game, man. Oh, highlight of my week.
How many times do they say the name Richie Incognito on the broadcast?
We should count that. We should count that. I should have somebody count. I might count that
we
myself.
We might do that. Let's do an over-under.
Why not?
I'm going to put the line at
40?
30.
Okay.
Well, let's say 29 and a half. So if you think they're going to go 30 or more, give me the over. And if it's 29 or lower, take the under.
I'm going to say over 30 times. No, over 30 times.
Over 30?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be ridiculous.
I think it is
that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, John Gruden's just going to be.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about this guy.
Let me tell you about it, Incognito.
Let me tell you about this guy, rule. Richie Incognito.
Yeah, every single time he mentions it.
Every single time.
I'm going to die laughing now.
I'm going to have to take over 30, too.
Yeah, I'm going over 30, man.
I hope they do. I hope we both win there. All right, but yeah. Who you got in the actual game?
In the actual game, I'm going to go with Dolphins.
You can take the Dolphins?
Yep.
I think it's going to be interesting to see if they crumble under all this or if they
unite.
Exactly.
It's one of those things, man, where you use it as a rallying point or you use it as one of those points you say, wow, this is when we just totally just lost focus.
You know, I've been burned by taking the Buccaneers before, but this is a week that is predicated on not learning from past mistakes because I'm going to take the Buccaneers again.
You're going to do it?
Yeah. Give me Tampa Bay.
There you go. Take
all
Tampa
right,
Bay,
and then
baby.
Last but not least, tonight, the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, OKC, man. It's gonna be a big game. I wish I could. I think it's a 7 o'clock tip. I think.
Yep.
I will be at the game, but I'll be definitely glued to my laptop while I'm tweeting about the MSU men's basketball game and following it. I think that go with your head out. The Thunder will win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I gotta
too.
Say. I gotta be honest. Russell Westbrook looks like he didn't even have an injury last season. You know what I mean? He looks unbelievable right now. I think KD. I mean, that defense is gonna have to be stellar. To try to
the entire game. Yeah.
The entire game. Yeah, you can't take any quarters off.
Cannot sleep on the Thunder even for a minute.
So,
or they'll burn you.
There you have it. Really quickly, Matt, of course, tonight, Michigan's MSU's men's basketball team, they start their season against McNeese State. And, you know, we've talked about this team, you know, off and on for a few weeks now. Of course, exhibition play has just wrapped up for them. Here's a few bites from Travis Trice, Brandon Dawson, Keith Appling, and Tom Izzo. On just their mindset coming into this season.
Exhibition games are in the books now. You guys start to the regular season. Talk about what you saw in those first two exhibition games and what you like, what you don't like.
We showed we're pretty versatile. We can run, we can throw it inside. We didn't throw it inside as much as we can or we should, but we showed that we can do a lot of things. We got a lot of guys that are skilled.
Something we talked about last season with you guys is closing out games. And what are you telling each other, you know, individually in the locker room to keep that focus throughout the entire game?
You can't play the score. We were up by 30 tonight, and I think we started to play the score, and that's when we got kind of sloppy and didn't do the things that got us there. But our thing is just playing each game like it's 0-0 and playing it like it's a national championship.
Season starts now, Trav. What do you think the identity of this team is going to be as the season progresses now?
I think a tough team that can get out and run, that's very athletic and unselfish. I mean, we really don't care who's scoring. As long as we're scoring and we're winning, that's all we care about.
How did that mean? I want to start my next question. I mean, talk about the mentality, because you guys are so unselfish. You look at the amount of assists tonight. I mean, it's through the roof, off the charts. You guys are constantly pulling for each other. You're constantly trying to find the best shot on the floor. Talk about that mentality real quick.
That just shows how unselfish we are and how much, what our goal is. We want to win a national championship, and we don't care how we got to do it. Who scores, how we win, as long as we win, that's all we care about.
The season now starts now. Every preseason poll you look at, 1 or 2, expectations through the roof. How are you guys handling it, and do you guys like it?
It's a sign of respect, so we definitely appreciate it. But at the same time, we know we're going to have a big target on our back, and we got a lot expected of us. So, I mean, we definitely got to live up to it.
What do you think the identity of this team is going to be as the season progresses? Is it going to be a team who, you know, throws it inside more? Is it going to be a shooting team, fast break? I mean,
we can basically do it all. I say, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, flatter, you know, us as a team, but I say we can really do it all. You know, coach emphasized on us our running game a lot. He tells guys like, you know, Keith Applin and our guards, you know, we need to run more, especially me. Last year, we really didn't run it good as a team, but now that we have guys like that's in, you know, great shape as far as myself. So I say, you know, we're kind of good in every aspect.
I feel like we're going to be feel like we have the opportunity to be a great defensive team, you know, a great transition team, and you know, we got a lot of guys that do a number of different things, you know. So I feel like overall, it should be a special year for us.
Now the real games start, and they come fast and furious, and there's going to be some big games in the next 3 weeks, a bunch of them. So I think we got a lot out of this preseason. I think we got a lot out of these games, and I'm looking forward to taking another step forward. We can score better than we've ever scored. We're running better than we've ever ran. We're not defending, I think, quite as well as we have, and we're not rebounding quite as good, but I think we can correct those things. I like our chances to correct those things better than a three-point shot. And we'll get them corrected, and I look forward to seeing you all on Friday.
Well, tonight is the night. MSU and McNeese State, of course, you just heard from Travis Trice, Brandon Dawson, Keith Appling, and head coach Tom Izzo. Matt, man, it feels good, first of all, to have basketball back. I can't wait for tonight. I tell you what, when you look at this MSU team, just want to know a few things here. You got your top three scorers back in Gary Harris, Adrian Payne, Keith Appling. Defense is what this team prides itself on. I think Gary Harris specifically, I will be looking at it because looking at the, you know, this offseason, Gary Harris told us, and, you know, Tom Izzo talked about it too at Media Day, Gary Harris has improved tremendously as far as his defense goes. I think a lot of it had to do with him getting shown up by Seth Curry in last year's NCAA tournament against Duke. But Gary Harris, I'll be looking at his defensive presence. Keith Appling is a great defensive guard. We know that. Opponents only averaged 59.1 points per game throughout the entire season against MSU's defense last year. Staying healthy is key. My X factor, I think Russell Byrd and Travis Trice are going to be huge this season for this team. And you know what? No recruit has made it to his senior year under Izzo without playing in a Final Four. Of course, guys like Keith Appling and so on and so forth. This is that year. Final Four?
I think it's Final Four or bust. Mm-hmm. I think the only way they don't make the Final Four is if they get into a game in the NCAA tournament and they start getting too cute. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, you know, you've got all this talent on the floor, and you know, they talked in those interviews about how unselfish they are, but sometimes they skew to being a little too unselfish, mm-hmm. and trying to make passes that they shouldn't, and trying to make them maybe a bit flashier than they should be.
Denzel Valentine,
kind of, yeah. But hopefully that was just freshman Denzel.
I think now he's
kind of adjusted to the speed of college basketball. I think he's going to be better in that regard. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we saw it even against, you know, Indiana, Pennsylvania in that exhibition game. And granted, it's an exhibition game. But, you know, you have so much talent on the floor that you think you can pretty much do anything. And even though they almost can, it's just you kind of lose focus. And if you're losing focus against a team later in the year, in February and March, it's going to burn you because that team's going to capitalize off it. They got there for a reason, too, when you're in the NCAA tournament. I think, you know, if injuries don't play a huge factor, and knock on wood, hopefully they don't, and if they don't kind of get just too cute with the basketball, mm-hmm. and start turning it over.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, you know.
It's always a big thing.
Always. Each and every season. You know, I do think Denzel Valentine will be better this season. I mean, he's a sophomore now. He has that experience now. But, yeah, like you said, getting too relaxed. I mean, we saw a little bit of that in that University of Indiana, Pennsylvania game where, you know, those last 8 minutes.
Sloppy.
It was like, whoa, what's going on here?
Sloppy stuff.
Yeah.
For my breakout player,
yeah,
it's got to be Dawson.
BJ.
I think if he's healthy enough to run down the wing with Harris on the other side, that is a terrifying duo of wings charging the basket. It's going to be Ager, Shannon Brown-esque, I feel like.
And I'm very curious to see how that Brandon Dawson shot is progressed over time. His form looks better.
If he makes four jump shots this year, I'll be happy.
Exactly. There you go. Well, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. And thanks to Bob Every. He was such a great guest. Again, if you want to be a part of the live audience next week, I sit down with Ali Easily. He is the head trainer over at Crown Boxing Club and also founder of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation, an inspirational guy. Sign up at WKAR.org. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic and safe weekend. And be easy, people.